Acts chapter 1 we're going to. This teaching is inspired because someone asked me in an email to talk about some of these things. So, yeah, we're going to talk about our Lord's return. This is what we're all looking for, right? I mean, this is what God wants. He wanted to save us. God has said he loves mankind so much. He gave his only begotten son. We get to fellowship with him in part now. You know, we get to walk with him, walk by his spirit, walk in his love. We get to pray, talk to him. But there is coming a day. There is coming a day when we're going to be with him and he with us face to face. And that is the day that we're looking forward to. There's a lot of events that have to happen. And, you know, with the world getting crazy, everybody on the internet. In fact, last week in my teaching, I mentioned that I hope these guys on the internet are right, like the Lord's coming back real soon. Yeah, well, I figured I better clarify that one too, but because I don't believe the people on the internet. And what I'm going to share with you is really what Jesus Christ, when he was asked the questions, he answered these things, and I think that they were pretty clear and plain if you read what's written. But as soon as the day of the ascension was happening, right, Jesus Christ was lifted up, and God took him, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He is now our high priest. That is the ministry he has now. First, he came as a servant. He came to die, to redeem mankind. He was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Now he sits at high priest. He sits in the throne room at the right hand of the throne of God in the heavenly tabernacle until God makes his enemies his footstool. And the Father, Jesus don't know when he's coming back. I don't know when he's coming back. The guys on the internet don't know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows when these things will be. Because the men here in Acts, this is what we all want. This is what they wanted. This is what we want. We want this kingdom to come. And it said, they asked him the question in verse 6. When therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. You know what? They're looking for this kingdom to come. That's what we pray for, right? That's when he taught us to pray. Pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Well, not yet. It's not for you to know the times of the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But he's coming. This thing is going to happen. They were just thinking that, well, now is as good a time as any, I think. And then when he was lifted up in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They were angels. Which also said, you men of Galilee. Remember, Judas isn't here now. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's going to come the same way you see him arise now and go into the heavens, he's going to do the reverse when he comes back. That's a wonderful clue, isn't it? All right, he's coming back the exact same way that he left. And they returned to Jerusalem, and they waited. The day of Pentecost came, and we can read the rest of the book of Acts. We are still waiting for him to come back. We are still, with all of my soul and heart, I would love for it to be any moment now. I would love, because this is it. You know, this is what we want. You know, I'm going to go through here. Go to Matthew 24. We're going to go through what Jesus Christ said about his return and do a synopsis of this. Well, it's really what the Lord, he laid it out. Matthew 24, we'll start in verse 1. And Jesus went out, and he departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. You know, they went to the construction site, and they were showing him this thing. And I don't think it's like he never saw it before. I just think that they were pointing it out. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon the other that shall not be trodden down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Question number one, when is this going to happen? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? The word world here in the King James is the word aeon, which means ages, age, a period, this particular period of time. When is this going to happen? When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of this age? Now, most people divide that into two questions. I sort of think it's sort of three, but it doesn't much matter. And Jesus answered. So you're going to get your answer. If you read it carefully, you're going to get the answer. What, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs? And of the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. This is like, how easy has it been throughout the centuries that people have been literally deceived? Churches have been, the name of our Lord and the church has been dragged through the mud because of people who have been deceived concerning what Jesus Christ is going to write here, what's going to be said here in these chapters. If you read what's written, if you just think through what's written, it is so simple to see, I think. Maybe, and you just ask God to open your eyes to see it clearly and distinctly. And if you don't understand something, ask. Always ask. See, you receive not because you ask not, right? That the Lord said when you pray. Well, the same thing's true of your Bible study. Oh, Lord, help us. He says in verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, you and I may laugh at this at the moment, but in my lifetime, there have been at least two guys that swore that they were Christ, the Messiah. One was a Jewish rabbi in Brooklyn when I lived there, and they were convinced, the whole bunch of the sect, that they were parked around his grave waiting for him to get up the third day, and he didn't. And then there was another one, Sung Young Moon. Remember him? He thought he was the Messiah, and he led his people. And we're talking about probably a million people followed him. You know, the Moonies, remember them? And then they got huge. But the Moonies were you know, all over the place back when. They really were. So people get deceived. Now, we may laugh, we may scorn, we may do all, but you know what? These were people who really wanted a Messiah. And I don't know what they believed or how they believed it or whether they had a Bible or not. I don't know much about these groups. I know the Jewish guys thought he was the first coming. Point is, the truth is available for people to know. We got to preach it and teach it and make other people come to understand it. You know? And then they got to read the scriptures for themselves. But it's easy for people to become deceived. That's why you must know the scripture beyond any other. You don't take anybody's word for it. You read it and you read it and you read it. And God will make it very plain to you. Don't be deceived. It says here, let's read verse 5 again. For many shall come in my name and shall say that I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. That's ethnic group. Ethnic group shall rise against ethnic group. What's new about this? And kingdom shall rise against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. They are the beginning of, the word sorrows is the word for labor pains. This is like, all this is the beginning of labor pains. The baby isn't come forth yet. All right? You're going through the contractions. It's horrendous. I remember being there with Mary. It's horrendous. She almost choked me to death. I said, you did this to me. But, I mean, it's serious. We've had millions and millions and millions of people die. Wars, rumors of wars. First World War, Second World War. I mean, dictators, communist dictators killing 20, 30 million people in Asia. We've had an earthquake that was on Christmas Eve, I think it was, and a quarter of a million people died that were close to the beach in Southeast Asia in one day. You've had so many other things. This is just the beginning of the labor pains. This has been going on since this was written down here in this chapter. And actually it's been going on, those things have been going on since the earth, since sin entered into the world and the earth has been splitting itself apart. There's nothing new here. The end is not yet. Not when you see those things. And those are the things the people on the news and the internet and everything else point to mostly to say, well, we're getting close. We've been getting close for a long time. See, keep your finger here for a minute. And go back to Acts chapter 2. Everything before the day of Pentecost was not considered the last days. In Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, the prophecy that Peter spoke concerning what had happened on the day of Pentecost, it says, Peter says, but this is that which was spoken. This is in verse 16. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." God fulfilled the promise that he made that he would pour out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It says here very clearly in verse 17, "It shall come to pass in the last days." We are in the last days since, that was 2,000 years ago, since the Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. Everything before that, you know, think about it this way. Think about it like an animal, all right? You got the animal, and then you got the back of the animal, which is the beginning of the tail. The tail would be the last days, okay? The tip of the tail is the end, the telos. We are on the tail these last 2,000 years. It's a long tail so far. At least from our perspective. It's a long last days. But from God's perspective, it's not so long. And thank God he waited for us so that we could be a part of this. Because if he had cut this off shorter, you and I wouldn't even be. And I just praise God for that mercy. I really do. Go back to Matthew 24. So all of these things, we are in the last days, but it's not the end yet. We haven't hit the tail, the tip of the dog's tail. These are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee." So there is here the last days, right? You're going to have wars, rumors of wars. You're going to have ethnic group against ethnic group, nation against nation. Nothing's new. Pestilence. You're going to have earthquakes, tremendous upheaval. Then, as times go by, you know what? Guess what? You Christians, they're going to want to kill you all. You know, and this is nothing new either, is it? In my lifetime, I have watched Christians being cleansed out of Africa. We're talking about 1/3 of the population of the Middle East was Christian, and they're gone, either persecuted or they got out of town. Most died. You still have in Ethiopia churches being blown up. You have this now, an uprising in the United States. Most of Europe is a godless wasteland with nobody. All the churches are simply museums. The great majority of the people don't believe in God anymore. Their love for him and one another is waxed cold. There's nothing new here, is there? And iniquity, tell me it's not abounding. iniquity, sin, a lifestyle of sin. That's what iniquity is. That's what the word stands for, a lifestyle of sin. You are now in the middle of a transition in our own lifetime of people calling that which was good, you know, now they call it evil. And they call that which was evil really good. Again, this is all a part of the program. What are you going to do with your own life and your own heart? That's what you decide. Are you going to stay faithful unto the end? That's what the Lord says. Those that stay faithful unto the end, even though all these circumstances and all these things are going to go on around you, it ain't going to get better. Not, well, it could. We could get better as a community. We could get better as a country. We could get better as a continent if we have a revival of the spoken word and people believing it and turn towards God. I mean, God revived Israel, you know, and the believers in the first century. I mean, they were the ones who killed the Messiah. And right after they killed him, God poured out his spirit and invited them all to eternity. You want to talk about a merciful God who wants everybody? He wanted the people who killed his son. He poured out the spirit and then invites them and says, hey, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That was days after, you know, a month after the resurrection, 40 days. So God's heart towards mankind is really merciful. So merciful. But because iniquity, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You're going to let your love wax cold? That's what you got to ask. See, these are the things you and I can ask ourselves. First of all, we don't get tricked when some dude comes along and thinks that they're the Messiah. Then we don't get all uptight because the events that are been happening for thousands of years are still happening, and they're getting a little bit more intense, it seems. You know, the same thing's true of the love, the same thing's true of the wars, the same thing's true of the racial stuff, the same thing's true of everything that goes on. Iniquity abounds. Will you allow your love to get cold? That's what you know, Jesus, don't be deceived. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We're in the process. Let's get busy and get it done so that the end can come. I want to go home. I do. Let us get busy and preach the gospel. Then it says that in verse 15, there's a specific event that's going to happen. Now, remember the questions were, and what, tell us, these things, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? Okay, when shall these things be? Well, let me tell you what it's not, which everybody believes it is, Jesus said. And then he tells us, this is just the beginning of sorrows. It's not the end yet. Then there's going to be an event that's going to take place. It says, wherefore in 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet, standing in the holy place? Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back and take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For there shall be great tribulation, such as has not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. The great tribulation starts with this event that happens, that's prophesied in the book of Daniel. And if you want, you can look at Daniel chapter 9. Keep your finger there. We're coming back to Matthew. We got a lot to do. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, and in we're going to read a couple of verses. This, again, God has got to show you, because this was not easy to see. You read the whole book of Daniel, you'll realize that, you know, all of the events that God foretold was going to happen, he did not make it so plain that anybody could see it. Because then the devil could see it too. It's a whole lot clearer because many of these things have already happened. Not all of them, but many of them. But they are still foretold. And we get to see what he shows us. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, it says, "And after 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off?" The Messiah is going to be killed. So after this period of time, and this I'm reading from the middle of the prophecy here. "Shall the Messiah be cut off?" The Christ is going to be killed. But not of himself. He didn't kill himself. "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end, therefore, shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many." This Antichrist that's coming, this leader that's going to come, he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, a week is considered 7 years. All right? And that's just people understand it that way. I can't explain it to you in this teaching. A week is 7 years. And the covenant of many for 1 week. "And in the midst of the week," in the middle of that week, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consumption and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate." This event is going to happen, all right? The abomination which causes desolation. There's going to be a man who's going to rule in Jerusalem, the Middle East, in Jerusalem. He's called the Antichrist other places in the scripture. In fact, why don't we go? It's easier to see in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. In verse 1. Says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. His return is also called the day of Christ. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This son of perdition, this antichrist, this individual is going to make a covenant with all people. He's going to be this fabulous leader. He is going to be fabulous. You want to talk about people who, I'm trying to make a joke, and it's not going to go well on the tape. He is going to be absolutely charismatic, beautiful. He's going to do signs and wonders. People are so thrilled with him, they really think he is the Messiah. It's just going to be so deceptive. This is what Jesus is warning. And then this period, this last 7 years, in the middle of that week, in 3.5 years, this charismatic guy that's doing all these wonders and signs and this peace and everything's happening, everything's good. You know, everybody's got, you promised everybody everything. You read it all. He's deceived just about everybody. And the people who aren't deceived, like you and I, who believe the Bible, were being hunted and killed, what Jesus said. Then he does something. He breaks that covenant that he made with them. He changes. He changes his stripes in the middle of that week. And he goes into the temple of God and he sits down and he declares, I am God. And he ceases the sacrifice to be done, or whatever this thing is. I'm not sure what it is specifically, but he ceases that obligation. All right, that holy thing that happens in the temple. He ceases that from being sacrificed and given to God, and he sets himself up as God. Then comes the great tribulation, such as the world has never seen. Now, this is from, authored by the devil. The devil's man is sitting in the temple. The devil's man is sitting on the throne of God, where God should be worshipped. He has deceived just about the whole world. And now, comes the great tribulation. Now, we got tribulations now, the scripture says, right? We got people sick, dying, wars, rumors of wars, all the stuff that we just read about. We have it, and we think we got a lot of it. Well, we're going to have a lot more of the same in the great tribulation. I mean, a lot more, such has been never seen in the history of mankind. During that. And then it says, go back to Matthew 24. In verse 21. For then shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, or nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened. Remember he said it was a week and it was 3.5 years? Unless those things be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Nobody'd make it through this period. I don't care how you and I, how wonderful we think our faith is and everything else. You know, no man is able to withstand everything forever. And the Lord says, unless this period of time, unless he shortened it, nobody'd make it. That's how bad it's going to be. So as macho as we think we are spiritually sometimes, it ain't going to work out. Nobody's going to make it. Unless this time was shortened. But they are going to be shortened. It says, but for the elect's sake, for your sake and for my sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, now this is a good key, right? Because remember, this guy rose up from among the nations. This Antichrist rose up. He's a guy. See, and half the world thinks that there's no big deal. I mean, God can be a man. I mean, doesn't half the Christian church worship Jesus as God? He was a man. So, you know, it's not that big a leap to think that people could believe that a human being could be a God. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. You know, these miracles and wonders that this is going to happen, that these people are going to do, this one in particular is going to rival what our Lord did. Remember that the Pharaoh's magicians, they threw down their sticks and they turned into snakes. The devil's got a good deal of power. Not more than God, but he's got power. And he can deceive even if it were the very elect's sake. So, you got to stand by what the word says and not by the miraculous things you see. And behold, I have told, as I told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth, or behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How is it going to come? He's not going to be over here or over there. He's not going to be in the secret chamber. He's not going to be in the desert. He's not going to be on earth. He's going to come just like the lightning that comes from the east and travels to the west. So shall. Where is lightning? Up in the clouds, right? Where did the angels in Acts chapter 2 said, how is he going to return? As you saw him go up, you're going to see him come down. He's coming down from the clouds. He's not in a secret chamber. He ain't in the desert. He ain't out in Hoboken. He is coming from the clouds, from heaven. Coming down. So there's a big key. Somebody says Christ is over here. Don't believe it. Don't do that. When is the last 3.5 years? Have you seen somebody in Jerusalem being worshipped as God yet? No. Well, then we're not there yet, are we? The end is not yet. But when you do see those things, the abomination which causes desolation, this sacrifice, and a man sitting in the temple of God declaring himself to be God, who does great wonders and signs, then you know it's really close. 3.5 years we're into this. You can hang on for 3.5 years. It's only 1,000-something days. 1,290, Richie says. He's already counting them. And I'm ready. We're ready. So he's coming as lightning comes out from the east and goes to the west. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass, the word carcass is the word body, wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. You know what? The carcass, first of all, you know what's going to happen when he does return, when he shows up? And I'll read you some of these from different places, but I just want to give you the picture. When our Lord appears, all right, we're going to have the trump of God, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, the carcass, is going to rise first. Then we which are alive are going to be changed, and we are going to meet them in the clouds, and it's going to be like eagles be gathered together. And we're going to be forevermore with the Lord. So again, for where the eagles be gathered together, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, after this coming this close, after this coming to the end. All right, now here it is. When is the gathering together? We've gone through it. We just saw it. When? Lightning. All right. We're changed. The body, the eagles are gathered together in the clouds. And then it says, and immediately after the tribulation of those days. We just went through 3.5 years of tribulation. Then we're going to talk about the wrath of God coming down on earth, okay? And on those that didn't believe, and on this Antichrist. But yeah, got a bunch of verses. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I don't want to miss this. 1 Thessalonians. I may not get to do it all, but we'll get to do a lot of it. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. When that event happens, it's going to look like this. In verse 13, verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, your brothers and sisters in Christ that are dead, for that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." See, death is a temporary state for those of us who believe. It's a temporary state for everybody, but it's really temporary for those of us who believe, because we're going to get raised. A resurrection like into his glorious body. Get new bodies, new minds, and never die again. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Go to, look at 2 Thessalonians, since we're in close, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, this Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This guy's reign, that Antichrist, this fella, as soon as the Lord shows up, he is target number one. And he is consumed. And again, after that tribulation, after these things happen, and the Lord appears, that Antichrist is destroyed, and a lot with him. We are raised. We are resurrected if we're asleep or we're changed. We meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says, and then we return, okay, in vengeance on all the ungodly. That's when you can read Psalm 2. Hey, you kings of the earth, you know, everybody's still going to be driving around. Everybody's still going to be messing around. You know, governments are still going to be in business. I don't know what it's going to look like when that happens. I don't know if our country will exist then. But I do know this. There'll still be people doing business. In fact, it says a little later on here, they're going to be marrying, giving in marriage. They're going to have parties all until this day shows up. You know? I just want you to see the sequence, because that great tribulation happens before the Lord's return. That is the devil pouring it out on the planet Earth. That's a 3.5-year period of time with the Antichrist leading it. Then the trump sounds, the Lord comes, descends into the cloud. We ascend to, we are immortal from that particular point on. All right? Go back to Matthew. Look up, you know, there's another one too in Daniel. Boy, there's a lot of good scriptures. Daniel 12. You stick your finger in Matthew. We're coming right back there. Daniel 12. Let me see if I can just read this quickly. Well, I can't wait for my Lord to come back. I can't wait. Daniel 12, verse 1, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall, that's why I named my son Michael, stand it for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as has never been since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Those of us, you know, when that time comes, everybody's written in the books, going to be delivered. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting corruption. When that day happens, I mean, this is, again, cryptic compared to what it says in Thessalonians, but it's going to happen. In go back to Matthew 24. Well, let's read 30 again. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When our Lord returns, he is not coming back to be pushed around. He's not coming back as a sacrifice. This same Jesus, the same gentle, meek, mild, humble Jesus, is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back with God's justice. And a ton of people are going to die. And I think people have a real hard time wrapping their head around the fact that this is the same Jesus that they saw in the Gospels. He put up with and sacrificed himself, not because he was unable, but because of love. And he's coming from heaven with power and with great glory. In verse 31, and he shall send his angels with and those word angels here is the word messenger. You and I just might be a part of this. And he shall send his messengers with great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. Whoa. You know, here he goes. He goes from this really heavy duty. Okay, now I want you to learn the parable of the fig tree. Why? Because I want to show you, this is like this on the planet Earth. I want you to see an illustration of what this is going to be like. This whole thing that I've been telling you about. The parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, how many of them? All of them. That includes the abomination of desolation in the throne. That includes that Antichrist. When you see all of it, you know that it's near, even at the door. You know you got 3.5 years, if my math is biblically correct. Verily I say unto you, this generation may not pass. This generation may not pass. Jesus doesn't know when this is going to be. He told them, it's only the Father that knows. And a generation we count as a 20-year period of time, right, Kenny? 20 years? Not 40, it's 20. So within any 20-year period of time, it's possible that these things could come to pass. Verily I say unto you that this generation may not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man. The day and the hour, nobody knows. Do you get to see what he told you? You're going to see all the labor pains. You're going to see all this stuff. There's coming a day. There's one event that's going to be big time. And that's with that Antichrist making himself as God and being worshipped as God. Signs and wonders are going to be happening. Then you know it's near. But nobody knows the day and the hour. But the Father only. But as in the days of Noah verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one of them be taken, and the other left. See, when the Lord comes back, we went through this, right? This is a look back again. That's when this is going to happen. It's not a separate resurrection for Christians and a separate one for Jews. That's what a lot of people teach. There's one coming. There's one second coming. And all those who believed are going to be in that. And when that event happens, like I said, life's going to be living. Everybody's going to be doing what they're doing. One's going to be taken, the other one's going to be left. That'll be fun. All I care about is I'm the one going. That's all I'm focusing on, you know. And two shall be, one will be taken, the other left. Verse 40-41, and two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, watch. For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Wherefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then the Lord gives three parables that give a picture of this. And I'm not going to do that tonight. Today, there's no way I can do that justice today. But the point of each one of these parables is, what should you be doing? You got the parable of the steward. You know, the men were steward. You got the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins. They, you know, some of them didn't bring oil. Some of them weren't ready. Oh, hey, I see he's coming now. I got to go get my stuff together. No, sorry, you're out. You're done. It's too late. There's no second chances here. You read those parables. In fact, I got the parables classes up on the internet. It's on the website. It's on the internet. You just look under classes, and you'll find it. I teach it in pretty good detail. So I think you'll enjoy that, Parables of the Kingdom. So our Lord's coming. He's coming. I can't wait for this. I mean, glory. You have God and Christ in you today, which is your hope of this day of glory, where we're all going to be changed, where I'm going to be with my Lord, my Father, and all those who have believed. You are going to get raised. We are going to be changed if it's in our lifetime. And then we serve for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, the devil will be put in a pit. The Lord will reign from Jerusalem. Everybody who stands against him is going to be whacked. They're going to be wiped out, killed. They're all going to get a shot. But then the earth's going to become like a paradise. The tree of life will come back, and the nations will be able to eat, and we will minister as priests and kings on the earth with our Lord. That parable, how many cities you got? You 5 talents, you got another 5, you get 10 cities to watch over. Those of us who have been faithful get to serve in that. I don't personally. David said, I'd just be very happy to be the doorkeeper in the house of my God. just my doorman. That's all, and that's, I just, you know, me too, you know. But I'll let the Lord figure out who's deserving of the rewards. That's not my, I'm just concentrated on staying faithful. I don't want to be deceived. Don't let anybody's baloney. Oh, it's going to be. Oh, I got it all worked out. I watched some really nice people really get it so wrong and embarrass themselves, the scriptures, the people that they entrusted them with. They just, you know, what a catastrophe. No one knows the hour, the day or the hour. Let's just leave it like that. And let's wait. Look, it can happen within any 20-year period of time. You know? I mean, look at what's happened in our life just in the last 20 years. I mean, a lot of stuff has gone on. Think about it that way. A lot of things that I never thought I'd ever dream to see have happened. You know, and we're not even talking about the whole earth. We're just talking about what I can see. So, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for giving us such a clear, wonderful record of what's coming, what's happening, Father. Thank you, my God, for your love and goodness to all of us. Thank you for this time of restitution, my God, where things will be restored. And there will be a recreation, my God, and the kingdom will come. And we will be with our Lord and with you forever and ever throughout paradise. I'm just so grateful and thankful for this, Father. So I love you. I praise you. I thank you for taking care of all my brothers and sisters here. Take care of their lives, Father. Take care of their hearts. I ask you to provide each and every one of us what we need, Father, to live this life to your glory, mentally, physically, our health, our strength. Help us financially, Father, every other which way. And I know that you will always be there for us at every turn that life gives to us. Every bump in the road, Father, you will be there. So I praise you and love you. And I'm just grateful, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.